email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Lorna Sixsmith joins us in studio. Her new book is Country Girl at Heart. Good afternoon, Lorna.
Hello, Ray.
So what's the count now? How many non-fiction?
Three humorous non-fiction.
Right.
Yeah. Would You Marry a Farmer? How to Be a Perfect Farm Wife and an Ideal Farm Husband. And
right.
Then there was a memoir after that.
And now there's Country Girl at Heart, which borrows an awful lot from your own life.
Well, a little bit here and there.
Yeah, well when you were here, then you went over to the UK and then you came back.
Well, that's true.
Yes,
that's
yes,
true.
Yes.
I was thinking more about the goat. I had a goat called Becky as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
There's a goat in it, and there's a dog called Floss, and there's a cat called Cece.
Yes.
In the book. So this is, it's humorous as well,
mm-hmm.
And it's romantic. And I was trying to guess from the off who she was going to end up with. And I was right.
Oh, you got to finish it, did you?
Yeah. Well, I skipped it in the middle.
But right,
yeah. It must be fun to write these types of novels, is it?
I really enjoyed writing it. Yeah, I mean, I wanted to write about the perspective of a town girl who has to move to the countryside to a small community and she's living in this goldfish bowl. But yeah, I wanted to put a little bit of romance and obviously some of the kind of typical situations that you come across. I wanted to include them as well. That ended up being, you know, a reasonably funny novel.
Yeah. So it's Kelly O'Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
And her maiden name or her mum's maiden name was Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the locals think she's Kelly Kelly, but she's not Kelly Kelly. She's Kelly O'Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, your own story is that you went to London to teach, was it?
Yeah. We lived in London and then we lived in Salisbury. So we're over in the UK for 12 years. I was a secondary school teacher.
Right.
And then we came back to Ireland in 2002 to farm.
Your dad rang you?
Well, it was kind of... Yeah, he did phone me, actually. It was the year before, 2001.
Yeah.
My dad was 63, 64 at the time, and he was coming up. He needed to retire. He was, you know, getting tired. The work was getting a bit much for him. And I had a younger brother who didn't want to farm. And my husband was working as a scientist, but he'd also been brought up on a farm, but he was a second son. So my dad offered the farm to us, obviously a huge decision. And I was pregnant at the time as well, I think. Yeah, I would have been. So we came back in July 2002 when our son was 3 weeks old. So it was a bit of a baptism of fire.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you've been there ever since.
We've been here ever since. Yeah, for better or for worse.
Yeah. And we're going to skip between fact and fiction here, so it'll get complicated, I'm sure. Because, of course, in this, Kelly returns home and she's single. She doesn't have a husband in tow.
No.
So she's available.
Mm-hmm.
Such, and of course, she's a bit of a novelty in the locality and she gets a lot of attention. And it's not just because of the fact that she's a young single woman. It's also because the land is prime land and there's a number of neighbouring farms that want to get their hands on the land.
So. Yeah, I set the novel in 2017 deliberately because it's just after the milk quotas have disappeared. So every dairy farmer wants land. There's quite a few of them around. Kelly has moved to her aunt and uncle's farm sort of as a refuge from a bad relationship. She's planning just to stay for 6 months or so and then move on, go abroad. But she wants to stay single or maybe have just a casual fling. But as you say, she captures attention from quite a few
suitors, potential suitors.
Yes, yeah. And then she's the laying hen as well, of course, because she's got a good job. She's a secondary school teacher.
Now, explain the laying hen to me. It's a phrase I'd never heard before.
Oh, had you not?
No.
It'd be very common in farming terms where if somebody's a good laying hen, it means that she's got, I think it came because of the, before the marriage bar, teachers had exemptions, so teachers could work.
Uh-huh.
You see, so I think that's where it came from. The teachers were particularly good at it. But basically, they were bringing in a good income, but they have very long summer holidays, so they could help out on the farm. So you got best of both worlds.
Steady income and help during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
The other phrase that I hadn't come across either was, it's like bringing coal to Castle Comer. Now, I figured out that's similar to, it's like bringing an apple to an orchard. Yeah.
Or a coal to Newcastle, as
right.
people say.
Yes. Mm. I didn't know there were coal mines in Castle Comer.
Oh, there are.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of people would have travelled between Yorkshire and Castle Comer back when the coal mining was a thing. The coal mines closed in 1969.
Right.
Or 1969, I think it was, around then.
And you're based in Garanderry.
Yeah, but I'm only 5 miles from Castle Comer.
Right.
So Castle Comer features quite heavily in the book.
Yeah, write about what you know.
Mm.
Yeah. And women in farming in Ireland, that's something you've thought about a lot. Mm-hmm. And you are a woman in farming in, mm-hmm. in Ireland. So what's your current opinion on the whole thing? Things have changed an awful lot, have they, the last 20, 30 years?
Oh, goodness, yes. But even in the last 10 years, I mean, I was part of a group that were trying to get the farming media to include women more in the farming newspapers, as you know, showing them active on the farm. And I think it was 2016, 2017 we did that. And right. I remember my dad saying to me one day, he was handing me the Farming Info and he said, there's a woman on the front of that every second week. And he was delighted, you know.
Oh, he was delighted, wasn't he?
He was. Right. Okay. No, he was very much delighted. Because I did feel that women, it's just that expression, women are the backbone of Irish farming, but that they were invisible.
Mm.
And yes, in terms of owning land, apparently we're only 13%. But of course, most women who are farming are also, or most of them are in a partnership with their husband or, you know, in a relationship with a farmer. And even if they're working full time, they're still helping out on the farm.
Yes.
You know, I've dedicated the book to farming women because some women will say, oh, well, I only just stand in the gap or I only just do the paperwork. But anything you do on the farm is a huge, you know, it's a huge help.
Yes.
And it's often a crucial role.
So the dedication is for all farm women, whether you're just standing in the gap or running the whole shebang.
And just standing in a gap is inverted commas.
Yes.
Because, you know, people will say, I'm just standing in the gap or I'm just doing the paperwork. But believe me, Ray, if I had a wife that would do my paperwork, I'd be over the moon.
But then you see, you have to add to that, main cares for the children, if mm-hmm. there are children. And you have to do all of that and all the housework.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not double jobbing, you're triple or quadruple
jobbing.
Oh,
it can be.
Yeah.
It can be, particularly during busy times like calving.
Mm.
You know, I remember a friend said to me, like she's quite small children, said, you know, I feel I should be doing more on the farm like you do. And her children were much younger than mine. And I was like, look, you know, when your children are small, as long as you're getting hot meals on the table and the kitchen's warm when he comes in and it's all organised and you're feeding the odd newborn calf, you don't realise how much of a difference that makes.
Even your description there sounds a little bit old fashioned, as long as you have a meal on the table for him when he comes home.
But no, but I don't mean when he comes home. But when you're doing, like during calving, you could be doing 14-hour days, right. Or you're up 3 hours at night.
Yeah.
So having food that, like, my daughter's on an Erasmus this year and I'm going to miss her because during calving, she would normally be the one that would be baking a cake,
yes,
or
yeah,
throwing
yeah.
a casserole in the oven or making sure the fire is lit. Because when you're outside, you need to come, you know, for hours on end when it's cold, you need to come into some comfort.
You've 160 cattle. It's a big farm.
160 cows, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Cows.
Cows. Well, cattle would sort of be seen as beef cattle as well.
Okay, sorry, cows.
So, yeah, so 160 cows. And then we'd have some followers and calves as well.
And Brian is your husband and Kate's the daughter you mentioned there. And Will, so you have two children.
Yeah, Will is in the Netherlands. He's in college doing mechanical engineering. And my daughter's in Oslo at the moment doing an Erasmus.
Yeah. So you're, I said in the promo, farmer and writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just trying to picture you in your writing room. And thinking about Steve and his luscious curls and his brown eyes. and that must be fun.
Mm,
yeah.
It was. You know, and
Steve is one of the characters in the book, just so people know. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, Steve is the neighbouring farmer who ends up coming over to help her out on more than one occasion. And she ends up helping him out on more than one occasion as well. But sorry, what do you mean, Ray, in terms of...
No, but you're sort of... I suppose that's what writing is.
It's
It's a fantasy, sort of, yeah.
I'm
just
is.
Wondering, are Steve and Hugh based on real characters?
No, unfortunately not.
No,
no. My husband doesn't have curly brown hair.
No,
I'll say that now.
Right, right. And Brian, your husband, how does he... Has he read the book?
No, he hasn't as yet.
Right,
no,
okay.
I think he's scared to.
Why would he be scared now? in reading it, right, I just thought it has a lovely sort of the Sunday evening television feel about it.
Right, okay. Comforting.
Yeah. But like, you know, I'm thinking Ballycasangel or...
All right, okay.
What was the one that was set up in Scotland? The Monarchs of...
Monarch of the Glen,
yes.
Or Creatures Great and Small.
Yes.
Sort of vibe, maybe.
Yeah,
well, I hadn't thought of that,
you're
actually.
You're grimacing there.
No, I'm not. I'm going, you know, because I love that programme.
Yeah.
I'm grimacing, maybe because I hadn't even thought of that. You know, but I suppose it's a fun read, and I don't think it's nostalgic. I think some people might see it as nostalgic, but I don't think it is because I think it's quite
Real.
Realistic.
Yes,
there are some grim things that happen,
mm.
but maybe I'll put a comedic flavour
to
them.
There's sort of a little bit of Bridget Jones there on the farm in it as well,
I suppose. Yeah. But also, like in farming, if you didn't laugh, you'd cry quite often. Yeah. So that's sort of, you have to have that mentality or you would cry.
I think that for life, not just farming.
True. But you can never get too cocky in farming. You can never say, oh, I've had a good year, or phew, everything's going fine. Because the next day you'll go out and a cow will have broken her leg, or something will have happened, you know.
You're usually down at the ploughing.
I'll be there tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Right. And would you be there for the book? Or?
No, I'm there as just an ordinary punter this time.
Okay, mm-hmm. Because we spoke to you before about matchmaking at the ploughing, and yesterday we spoke to Mairead Lockman. She was down there for the 3 days matchmaking, and she was saying that a lot of her clients in her matchmaking agency are farmers, that they find it hard to, you know, and maybe that's why Brian dodged a bullet there. He went off a second son, you know, and then had that life and then came back so you were a couple, you know.
I think it is getting more difficult in rural Ireland for people to meet each other. I think Macra is a great.
Yes.
But of course, that ends at age 35. So I think if you haven't met your love of your life by the time you're 33, 34, then that opportunity is gone to an extent in terms of that, the Macra meetings.
Although there is a scene in the book where you and I don't know which character is reading the back of the farmer's journal, the personal ads.
Kelly is, yeah.
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 SD. What social drinker, isn't it?
Yes.
Social drinker. RC.
That's pertaining to religion, yeah.
OH.
Other half.
No, own hair. Right, Country Girl at Heart, Lorna Sixsmith. It's a good read and it's in bookshops now. Lorna, great to see you, and congratulations on the book. Thanks so much for coming in. Sarah and Cormac are on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.